All right, everybody, welcome to Broker Boys. We put the broke in broker.
At least I do.
I mean, Tron does for sure. I mean, these past couple weeks have not been kind to me. I watched my portfolio go way up. I'm like, yeah, get it, GameStop. Get it, everybody. And then, tanked straight to the bottom. But this week, we're not talking about stocks. We are talking about big banks. Big banks are a necessary evil of the world.
Yes, they are.
And none of what you're about to hear is financial advice. Well, none of it really is financial advice. But, we got me, Alex. We got Derek over here.
Hello.
We got Tron.
Yo.
And this is Broker Boys. So, pretty much every bank in the world has the potential to fail. Like, all around, the number one bank that has failed...
Most recently.
There's been banks that have failed more recently than that, but they're small banks. The biggest bank to fail, Washington Mutual. And now it's Chase, so if you see a Chase anywhere, just be like, that was a Washington Mutual once upon a time.
Do you think any banks are going to fail after the squeezes?
They're already failing into the squeeze. This whole past week, all the banks were down, multiple dollars because of issues, because they're having to lend more money to these people that are borrowing money from that doesn't exist. They're borrowing they've already bought money for hypothetical shares.
Well, I mean, are banks going to go away?
They won't ever die. They have too much money invested in other sectors.
Well, I mean, especially with the Fed as well.
Yeah, the Fed will keep, because the Fed hasn't pumped any more money in and hasn't stopped pumping money in, and then that's why inflation's so fucking high right now. It's like gas prices are $3.30 a gallon. It's stupid because everything that's going on, all these things that are happening, are all because the fact that these dudes got, and now there's this question mark of what's going to happen when they actually prove that they got, and where is this money going to come to cover when they got. You know what I mean? That's what's going to happen. And we're talking billions and trillions of dollars worth of loans that may default, on a yearly basis for a while now because they decided to do something illegal. It is what it is. It sucks.
The Federal Reserve would just be like, here, 0% interest, 0% interest. Here you keep on going.
Yep.
And so these big giant banks, they're just never going to go away because the Fed is just going to, here you go.
So, not financial advice, but you should not have a lot of your money in the bank. You should have, this is based off a model I read on the internet, and a guy that's, I think his name is Dan.
I thought you were going to say Michael.
Nah, Dan something. Anyway, he runs this financial freedom course.
Yeah.
In class, and teaches you where your money should be and how much of it should be certain places and whatnot. And they say you should have no more than $5,000 in the bank at all times. And then you should have a savings account with some sort of rainy day fund. That's a quick transfer that you can put in your account. If say your car breaks and you can need $1,000 right away.
Yeah. Always and have then, something always have $1,000 or at least 500 squirreled away.
Yep. And then he says that you should also have some sort of liquid amount of cash in your house somewhere safe, because you never know that, what if the stock market crashes again and there's no, your credit cards don't work. You know what I mean? That money is physical and it's still worth something, even though the world has ended, and then he talks about the rest of your money should be some sort of investment, because waiting for 1 to 2% a year in your savings account doesn't get you any money, doesn't make you any profits. So your money's not working for you. You're just sitting there being wasted.
Unless it's a ridiculous amount of money that's really stupid to have in a bank.
Yeah. But you should, and then even then, I recommend credit unions because they don't have any affiliation to the actual big bank system. They only are covered by the federal government. That's the only thing. They have zero allusion to or anything that has to do with credit unions can't own properties and can't own other physical stakes of things. They can only offer you banking services. That's all they're allowed to do. It's all their hands are in. They're very, very clean with their, like...
Oh, really? Yeah. So they can't, like, take your money, go put it in bonds and stocks and...
They don't, the credit unions aren't allowed to do stuff like that. Oh, they can, but they're not, but they do it on such a, they're very much more power to the people than they are power to the company.
Okay.
Like, your your money is safer in a credit union than it is in a bank. Because, like, the credit union, as much as it works, operates like a bank, it doesn't have the same institutionalized, like, it can't just go buy, it can't just own, like, land. You know what I mean? It can't do that. Like, they can have, like, brokers, like, you know, like a real estate broker that works with the bank because the bank lends through his program and whatnot. Like, that's how they could do that kind of thing, you know? But they don't physically own, like, where Chase Bank can own a building. Like, credit unions can't own a building unless you put it up for collateral. But even then, they liquidate it to a bigger entity because they want the cash. Yep.
All right.
Personal opinion, credit unions are way better than banks. Not financial advice.
Personal opinion, I don't think there should ever be an ATM charge for...
No.
Getting your cash
back
out.
In the day when we were still figuring out the internet, completely understand charges. Like, because it was costing money to process things.
Yeah.
Now, shouldn't be an issue. You should not be charging $4 for me to use my card anywhere in the world. Like, that's fucking ridiculous.
Well, I mean, like, I guess if...
if you're going to charge me, give it back to me by the end of the month.
Well, I used to have a bank account back when I lived in North Dakota that would just give you that money back. Just credit it back immediately.
Yeah.
Didn't matter where you were.
Yep.
Like, I went to Europe.
Yep, USAA is pretty good about that, some of their banks.
Yeah, and I just be like, boop, and it's like, here you go. Yep. Here's your money back. I'm like, oh, cool.
Yep, that's amazing. See, credit unions can do those things because they're basically, they're a bank built on credit, built on, like, accepting loans and accepting payment plans and stuff like that. Like, my car loan is through a credit union because I got a better rate to those guys than I did a big bank and stuff like that.
Well, you know? The big banks are there to make money.
Yeah, unions aren't really. They're not making that much profit.
Well, yeah, but they're still there to, you know, make money. Like,
yep.
No one offers a service just for nothing.
No, absolutely not. But yeah, you got to be careful with your money, man. Especially nowadays, you know, when you're putting it into the bank, the difference is that it becomes digital until you pull back out. You know what I mean? It goes from physical ownership to a digital ownership. Until you get it back in your physical hand again, you know, and that sounds weird, but it is a very much thing because, like, say the bank goes bankrupt and your money is in that bank, it's only insured to what the FDIC says is insured.
So $250,000.
Right. Yep. So if you have more than that in there, guess what?
Sorry. Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying you know, if you have $250,000 in your bank account, you're obviously doing really, really well in your life. You're doing something went right for you, and I'm happy for you. But don't keep it there, like. Money should never be stuck unless it's long term positions held in companies or now the day is buying.
Yeah,
crypto,
I mean, if you have $250,000, you're having assets, you're, you know, owning houses.
You're not listening to us.
Yeah. You're not here listening to Broker Boys.
That's the realest statement.
But, you know, and it's the same thing too. When, like, you know, if you decide to go down that road with that kind of money in your bank account, you know, you can have windows opened up to you. Like, you can get lines of credit for, you know, a lot of money because you have the capital to back it up, you know. But, again, having money in a bank account doesn't make you more money. You know, just because you have, you know, $9,000 or $10,000 in your bank account doesn't mean that that's going to be $15,000 in a year or two. It's probably going to be less money because you're going to look at that and you're going to buy something nice or you're going to want to use it for something else. Putting yourself even in one stock, every year you put X amount of dollars in. Say you... $1,000 a year into Apple or $1,000 a year into Tesla, like that will, at the slowest rate of gain, it will still net you 8% a year over a 1 or 2% a year safety, like savings deposit or just your normal bank account, like 1.79 APR or something like that.
Yeah.
It's awful. Like, it's just the way. So just be very careful putting your money and trusting the banks with it. You know,
I remember like when I got my first savings account, like my parents did it. And, like, I looked at it after the fact, and it was under a percent. It was, like, probably, like, 0.1% interest. I'm like, that's some garbage.
Yep.
Like, oh, yeah, you got 2 pennies.
Yep. And with how simple and the automation of transferring money has become, it shouldn't be an issue for you to quickly pick up and start investing if you have that amount of money, you know what I mean, or you're letting money sit in your bank account. You know, it's just not safe nowadays. The reality is what it is. And it's just not like, unless you're a kind of person that like likes to sit on their money, or you think you're making enough money on your paychecks each year and that you don't need to put money away for savings because your 401k is doing great for you, you know. It's just also one of those things, too. If a guy gets a hold of your bank account, see ya. You know what I mean? Imagine getting your bank account hacked and you got $20,000 in there.
It's happened. Yeah. It's happened, you know, even with Robinhood.
I mean, my bank account got hacked when we lived together.
Yep.
Dude over in Japan started buying Ubers and went shopping. Like, liquidated like $2,300 out of my bank account.
Jesus Christ.
I, like, gave him money for rent. Literally, like, gave him cash out of my account for rent. Woke up the next morning and I had like a negative $2,300. Like, it was insane. He spent so much money. And then I had all my rest of my bills come out. Like, nothing got paid for a whole month. It was awful. It was absolutely awful.
Yeah, I mean.
And then I also recommend, sorry to interrupt you, but when you're making your passcodes for your bank, make those completely separate from anything other than that you do. Like, don't have them related to your life at all. Like, make up a fake password and just write it down and put it in your safety deposit box. Like, you should have a safe in your house. First things first. You should always have a safe. Should be a fire safe with your important papers and your important information in there. Safety in there. All your gold, your silver, your guns, like, all that stuff should have some sort of safe area where you can put the safe information along with it, you know? That is a key, because if you don't have a password that's related to your life on your bank, even if they hack your social security number, they can't get your password because there's no correlation between it. So, like, my password for my bank stuff and all my investment stuff, all my investments and all my bank stuff are completely different than any other password that I use for logging into my PlayStation, logging into my apps, logging into my user account names. Every single bank and every single investment has a different password. Same username for most of them, but different password, because I'm that paranoid about someone figuring it out.
Well, I mean, back in the day, one of my passwords was the square root of a prime number.
Nice. That's how you do it.
And I knew that number by heart.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I could rattle it off, and it's like, yep. Oh,
and you,
yeah.
You should always use the max digits. If it says 16 digits, you should use 16 digits. Like, if it's 12, use 12. If it's 8, use 8. And if it says use a capital, use a lowercase, and an exclamation point, use all those, because it makes
use every single symbol you possibly can.
Yep.
I mean, nowadays brute force attacks are, you know, a little bit more complicated to pull off.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, they'd just be like, you know, A A A A B, you know, A C, you know, and they can just go through, and then
yeah. Well,
now if you have something simple,
you get like 3 attempts and your thing locks up and shit like that now, you know, but. And then your PIN code, like your PIN on your cards, you should never use the same PIN unless it's correlated to the same bank. Like, say you have more than one card on a single account, it's fine to you have the same PIN on each of those cards. But for different accounts, the PIN number should be different as well. And it shouldn't be anything related to your life as well. Like, shouldn't be your kid's birthday. Shouldn't be part of your social security number.
I mean,
it should be like a random sequence of numbers that has no relationship to anything that you do. And this is, we're talking the most extreme safety here. You know what I mean? If you want to give you more safety, you need to get yourself a little key fob that you put that carries your passwords around and your cryptocurrencies. That's if you really want to be real serious. Like, I know a dude. He has all his passwords on a little fob that he puts into a computer, and that's the only way you can access his information.
Huh.
It's expensive as hell to do. It's thousands of dollars to get yourself that secure. But it's worth it.
Well, I mean, it usually also has like a thumbprint sensor on the fob itself.
Yep.
But like, also don't, you know, start clicking shit. Like today I got a text, you know, your Coinbase.
Okay.
Withdrawal,
I think those texts are so dumb, and everyone who clicks on them, I'm like, why do you just click on random shit?
Yeah. You know, your Coinbase withdrawal is in process. If this is an error, see here. And it has like a link to, you know, whatever. And I'm like, that's a bunch of bullshit. I'm like, go ahead and take it all. I don't care. There's like nothing in there.
I got one that was like, your FedEx package is on route and being delivered. And I was like, the last thing I bought from online was concert tickets. I think those are digital nowadays. I wrote back. I was like, I think you got the wrong number.
Like I've gotten one like, your Chase.
Did you get a response?
No, I wish I would have.
I've gotten one like, your Chase account is. You know, being hacked or what? I'm like, I don't have a Chase account. Go for it. Have fun.
Yeah, you just gotta be careful. Like, and you shouldn't always accept cookies on websites. That's another thing. I know.
Accept no cookies.
Like,
okay, that I didn't know.
So, like, if you trust the website, like if it's like Mad, if you're going to the Magic the Gathering official page and they said, hey, we use cookies, you should be pretty good. You know what I mean? Like you go to Nike and Nike's using cookies because they want, because you're clicking through pictures and shit like that. Fine. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. Okay. But if you're going to a website that looks any somewhat shady, don't accept cookies. And you don't have to. They're just going to keep it, just it's going to be a nuisance. It's going to have a little scroll bar there for
you can literally just turn that shit off. You can be like, accept no cookies whatsoever.
Yeah. But just be very careful. I keep them on because there's some websites that I do accept them to because I trust that website. I trust the company.
Like, all it does is just track what you're doing on that website.
Yep.
So, I mean, like now, just.
Okay.
Yeah. Just don't either turn them off, don't accept them. Don't search the internet.
I'm poor enough. Like, if they hack me, the only thing they will do
like,
is make
like
my
swipe,
stuff better.
Right?
But honestly, you know, also a little bit of a pro tip. Get Malwarebytes and Spybot Search and Destroy. Run that on your computer constantly.
Yep. And there's some of those programs that he just said, you can get free versions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're both free.
Yep. And then
Spybot Search and Destroy is 100% free. I've trusted it for years. Malwarebytes, trusted it for years. Never has done me wrong. And yeah, I just run them. I almost want to pay for them, but I'm like,
I know this is weird, but don't look up porn on your main computer. Keep that to a cell phone or a tablet of some sort. Like, avoid risky websites from your main source of internet search area or bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, keep the
what's great is like, I only go to like Humble Bundle and, where I upload the podcast episodes from my computer, but yet I have a $2,000 computer that can play any game.
Yeah.
I'm like, God damn it. Why did I do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just avoid dangerous and risky websites from your main source of internet browsing. Keep that to some smaller things that are away from more valuable information. Stay off very dangerous websites on your cell phone. Your cell phone has all your information. It has everything that you could possibly imagine on there, and it's the quickest way to get hacked.
If you really like want to, you know, go to crazy sites on porn, just get yourself a tablet. I know this has gone way off the rails of,
but it does. I mean, it still has to do with that, like being safe and
yeah, being. You know. But you know, get yourself a tablet.
Yeah.
Like I have a tablet here, that's completely separate from my cell phone.
Keep the risky stuff in a managed area. Same with your money. Keep your risky stuff in a managed area. You know,
I mean, back in my days, like we had magazines, but
yeah. Hey, I hear you. The nice thing is too, is if you do like big banks and you do believe in these guys, you know, JP Morgan, Chase, you know, Bank of America. What's another one that I was,
I don't like Bank of America.
Not my favorite one. KeyBank. There's PNC Bank.
Why didn't you like B of A? Because I didn't have an issue when I had B of A.
I've just had issues with them.
Okay.
They've done some shady business deals in the past with over oil and stuff.
Well, I mean, Wells Fargo has done some shady.
No,
issues.
Wells Fargo is the shadiest bank of all.
Wells Fargo. Like I had, like they were my first bank account, and like they weren't supposed to have any fees. But yet they like charged me like $500 in fees.
Let me tell you this, Sean. I'm still getting money back from when we lived together from them. Every couple of months I get a check for like $14. You're like, oh, well, this was a fee we charged you back in 2014. Here's your check. I'm like, okay, going to the bank account. Thanks for the free lunch, Wells Fargo. Like, I can't tell you like the hassles I had with that bank, the bank itself and the shittiness that they are. Like, if you want to talk about corruption, let's just start right there.
Yeah. No,
you want to talk about corruption? Let's talk about FIFA. Let's bring that into this.
The sports game?
No,
about the soccer league.
Yeah, like the company that runs soccer. Talk about the corruption. You want to know about bank corruption? Let's talk about FIFA real fast.
I don't know nothing about FIFA.
They literally bought a World Cup to play in Qatar in a desert where no one lives. They literally bought it. Banks, big oil money, all this pushing and like, I mean, literally just giving billions of dollars away. And they got caught. And they were like, we already started building the stadiums. Got to do it. They're playing in December. So FIFA's normally a summer thing, right?
Yeah.
Have to play in the wintertime because it's 130 degrees in the summertime. You can literally cook an egg in the summertime outside there.
Jesus.
So they built stadiums where thousands of people have died
thousands,
maybe even tens of thousands, and they're in the stadiums, around the stadiums, things collapsing, people dying because the work conditions are insane out there, really bad, and they're playing on graves. Every single stadium is a living grave. It's crazy, and like this is all just happening. And FIFA's like, we're trying to end racism. We're trying to do good for the world. We don't want people to be angry at us. And they're like, but we do take billions to put World Cups in the desert.
It's like, anytime I see like a giant company, you know, trying to like, you know, relate with a little man, be like, yeah, George Floyd, that was horrible. I'm like, I don't believe you.
Yep. There was a European bank, I can't remember the name of it, that got in some soccer stuff. They invested in a soccer team, and the soccer team up and left.
Oh, wow.
They built a stadium, like, big time, like, millions and millions of dollars, and then the team got sold, and they moved, like, out of country or some shit like that. And the bank was just like, well, looks like we're going out of business. All their investors were done. Like, it was so crazy.
That's hardcore.
Yep. The Canadian banks are good, though. Real talk. Do you want to talk about this? Canadian banks, great dividends. If they're listed in America, if you can find, like, Canadian Bank or something or other, the Alberta Bank.
Yeah.
The Quebec something. Like, there's bank. They're paying out, like, 10% dividends every year because they have to. They're required because the Canadian government says so. You should look into them. This is a great point, actually, before we get done with this.
Yeah, not financial advice, but...
But look into Canadian banks and look at their dividend history. They didn't even break... Like, they didn't even lower their dividends during the pandemic. Like, very few companies even tried not to do that. Like, they were all about it. Like, MGM's down to, like, a 2-cent dividend or some shit like that per share. Some, like, crazy, stupid bullcrap. You know what I mean? But these...
GameStop's down to zero.
Yeah. Well, they had to be. There's too much going on with that stock right now.
But, you know, I'm willing to, you know, take that. Because I'm like, oh, man. I have, like, $3,000. I'm like, oh, 10%. And it's like, no. No dividends.
No, that's all right. It will come back.
I ain't selling.
Yeah, especially with the model and everything like that, everything that's going on. I'm a big fan, of the Canadian Bank. I've invested in a few of them. I don't remember what they are, but they pay dividends quarterly and yearly. I believe a couple of them that do that, but they're great. If you look at some of the dudes that have been like dividends for like some, I hate to come up, the boomer dudes that have been doing dividends for a long time. A lot of their dudes have like hundreds of thousands in these Canadian banks. Because they just get such good dividends every year in and out, you know.
I'll check that out.
Yep.
That's awesome.
But my stock of the week is CLNE. It's a clean energy stock. It's
yeah.
ETF. It's just got a bunch of clean energy companies. A lot of them I'm already invested in solo. So to find an ETF, a lot of them in. Highly recommend getting in. It's dropped $10 since I've been in it. I think I got in around like 18 or 20, and it's down to like $8. You know what I mean? All clean energy took a fucking massive hit last couple of months.
This is before I continue, before this guy quits. You see the life?
Yeah. Feels bad, guy. You thought you had me, but then the tides have turned. Oh, how the turntables have turned.
How the
table.
Yeah, I mean, like, I dipped my toe over there in Clove.
Yeah, Clove is cool. I like CLOV. I'm a big fan of CCIV. I believe in that Ludstone Global, that electric car company.
Yeah.
I've seen some of their cars. They look legit. If they ever can get them on the production line and be built, it's going to be even cooler. But until someone can like punch Tesla in the face, an electric car company outside of Japan and China, it's not going to happen. You know.
Well, speaking of my stock of the week, it's NIO.
Yeah, I love NIO. I've been in them $3. $3 a share, $3.82, I think my average share price was back in the day.
Ugh.
Yeah, so I told people about NIO all summer during the pandemic, and everyone was like, well, it's $3, blah, 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 I'll buy some of it. I'm just loading up. If I wouldn't have sold right now, I'd probably have 20 grand in NIO.
Yeah, I bought NIO on Webull, and it's cracked back over
40. 50?
It's over 45.
Over 45? Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Now, man, once I started researching Tesla, I was kind of looking for the next competitor. And I looked at that and I was like, man, they're not even out of the country yet. I was like, they haven't even, they went like a year straight without having any negative quarter in sales over in Japan. Right? Japan? China?
China.
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 In China. They went like a whole, like a year and a half, almost 2 years without any negative quarters. And they've been pumping out these cars, and they just released their newest model in either before the pandemic or during the pandemic that over there rides longer than the Teslas that are over there or wrote at the same
distance. I might have to, you know, dive in on a little bit more.
You should read some research into Neo. That's a good company. I like, what's the, is it Slack? Workhorse. The electric trunk company? No, Nikola. Nikola's another good one to look at, too, because they're making long-distance 18-wheelers. They're going to try to do trucks, electric trucks.
I don't have faith in them.
I do across, not through the mountain ranges, not over here. It's too much. You're going to have gas. It's not enough. You're going to be burning out those batteries through these passes. Dude, Berthoud Pass, no way you're getting up that pass. Wolf Creek, no way you're literally will use a battery just to get through that pass if you're an 18-wheeler. But driving through Kansas and Missouri and that flatland, put a couple of solar panels on the top of those trailers, good to go. You'll make it hundreds of miles. I think we will always, in the trucking world, I think we'll always have some sort of gasoline.
We have to.
Yeah. I mean, again, I just don't believe in these electric cars through the mountain passes. I've seen so many broken down Teslas through mountain passes, like just out of battery because they just tried to, they didn't charge up before they left Denver or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, what do you do? Like,
you just wait. You wait till Tesla help comes and gets you.
Then what? Like, they just
they have a portable battery charger. They quick charge your battery, and then they send you down to the town to get charged, and then you charge in the town, and then you can go.
Oh man.
Yeah. Can you imagine being on I-70 and you're just like
I saw a video of some dude that's like, you know, oh my gosh, I have, you know, 9 miles to go and only like, you know, 8 miles left on my battery.
Yeah, it just shuts down. Just stops. It just like gas, car running out of gas.
Oh yeah. He made it to the quick charger though. He's like, yeah. Oh thank God.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen people I thought I had a flat tire, and I was like, I drove up and I was like, hey, what's up, man? He was like, can I use your cell phone? I was like, yeah, what's up? He's like, I ran out of battery. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I don't have a charge. I was like, genius multi-million dollar idea. Portable battery that you can like siphon into your Tesla. Like while you're going through the mountains, put some solar panels on top, have it charged and keep your battery charged while you're going through. That would be the sickest thing that you could invent. Like some sort of way at like a portable charging thing that you can just put
or have one like for like a campsite.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you know, like it like folds out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, boom, boom, boom.
Just some solar panels on top of your thing.
They have that on some Teslas where it's like all glass but solar panels like
built. Oh yeah, okay, on the roof. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
we're still going.
No, he quit.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
But that's it for this.
Wait, why don't I get a say a stock? Because I wanted what?
What's your stock?
Surprise, motherfucker.
what's your stock?
Anality Capital. It's stock NLY. When I started looking into it a couple months ago, it was only at like $8.20. It's been up to $9.60, but then it's like averaging around like the $9.80 mark right now. Mm-hmm. They pay dividends and it's like a what's it called mortgage type company.
Monthly monthly dividends.
Quarterly. Yeah.
And you said it's a mortgage company.
Yeah,
that's awesome. It's probably gonna make so much money here soon.
Yeah, they are, and that's why I really think that's a good one, is because they're going to with everything coming back and whatnot, and then even if things don't come back and like the banks do evil bank things and like scoop up the market, you're still winning off of that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can sell your house in less than a week in Colorado Springs right now.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Oh, did you see that like $600,000 house that sold that was all spray painted?
Yep.
And destroyed?
Yep. But again, like, sorry for just jumping in when you left me out, but I really do. Like one of our friends showed me or put me on this one, and this is a really good one. I put like some stocks in for my daughter, and like they don't give out lots of dividends. Last pay they did like, I think it was 22 cents
per share. Sweet. That's still pretty good.
Yeah. So like when they did their dividend recently, and I had like 10 or something, it bought like a quarter of a share.
Sweet. And once Webull gets their fractional shares, they'll start doing with drip, which is direct reinvestment, something, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what you want to do with dividends. Like, just, I buy a dividend stock and I never think about it ever again. So it just keeps dripping and dripping and dripping and dripping.
So with dividends, I buy dividend stocks for my daughter so I could forget about it. Because, like, there's sometimes, like again, I'm the poorest one out of all of us, and I need the money sometimes. So it just happens.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to get taxed on it, so it just is what it is. But, like, with my daughter's stock with dividends, I just buy them and just keep them dripped, and I forget about it.
Yep. That's the way to do it. That's how you do it. That's a good dividend investor right there.
Yeah. I mean... You know, I got some stuff rolling right now. I'm just waiting for it to...
Alex is up to something.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I mean, Corsair, but yeah, whatever. But that's it for this episode. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week. You can follow me, Alex the Truck, on Instagram and Twitter. We got the Bearded Yeti.
Yeah,
and
Bearded Yeti on Twitter, and then Gloves221 on Instagram if you want to watch any hike mountains.
And then TroniWani on Instagram, just going to start posting more stuff. If you want to get me to know me more personally, I am going to post a bunch of dog and kid pics.
All
He's
right.
also really good at Call of Duty.
No.
Dude, you should start putting it all on Twitch.
No.
Like, dude, you should. I have a camera that you can use, and you just plug that in, and you're like, boom, I'm trying. You don't even have to do that. you could just do it with your voice and be like, hey, you can just be like, hello, I'm drawn. But that's it. Bye.
Peace.
Later.